Are you recording?
I am.
Did you miss me, Dan?
Jeremy, I miss you every day. Where were you last week?
I was on vacation. I actually, when I'm not on a podcast, I just cease to exist in a podcastless ether.
I actually would buy that you're like an algorithm invented to man Politico's Daily Dispatch.
Yeah, you turn on a microphone and then I appear, and then you turn it off and I'm gone. I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, as coronavirus casts a wide shadow over the November election, Dan Diamond on what Joe Biden's pick for VP, Kamala Harris, and her position on healthcare mean for the presidential race. This election is unlike any other in so many ways. And I'm wondering, how do you think healthcare and health policy, with everything that's going on, will play into this election compared to past presidential races?
Yeah, healthcare is normally the most important issue in the presidential race, at least in recent years. I think this year might be second most important to does the mail work? But I also think the kind of healthcare issues we'll be discussing will be very different. I was looking last night at polls that were done on the presidential race dating back to pre-pandemic, and health policy, health coverage, the fate of Obamacare, those things were front and center as major determinants of people's prospective votes back in January. Now, every issue would seem to be shaped by the pandemic. And that is very different than, say, 2008, where there was debate over a national health plan. 2012, there was an early referendum on President Obama's health efforts, although Mitt Romney was hampered as the creator of an Obamacare-like system in Massachusetts. He wasn't able to really go after the Affordable Care Act. And then in 2016, Donald Trump promised repeatedly to repeal Obamacare, and I think that really shaped the past 4 years to some political disaster for Republicans. At this point, if there is going to be a referendum on the handling of the pandemic, it would seem to be about the mistakes that the Trump administration has made. And that's where Kamala Harris focused much of her initial speech with Joe Biden on Wednesday, attacking the president, attacking the administration for what it had done and mostly had not done to fight the coronavirus.
We're reeling from the worst public health crisis in a century. The president's mismanagement of the pandemic has plunged us into the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression.
Before all of this, healthcare, not coronavirus related, but healthcare was a huge issue during the Democratic primary.
Healthcare dominated tonight's first round of the Democratic debate.
Yeah, it's just wrapped up within the last 30 minutes in Detroit.
And Kamala Harris, who was a candidate at the time, her campaign was in part defined by it, defined by healthcare because of her difficulty nailing down a position on Medicare for all. Why was that such a trouble spot for Harris and her campaign?
You know, after Biden's announcement, Jeremy, I had to go back to the room in my brain and unpack the box labeled Kamala Care. I thought so much about this a year ago, and only a few things have happened in the subsequent year.
I got to say, you're the only person I know who could have a room in their brain labeled Kamala Care.
Well, it was such a big issue during the campaign because we were waiting for these candidates who had not weighed in on healthcare before to come out with their plans. And I remember talking to people on the campaign trail, working on the Harris campaign or working on rival campaigns, about the need for her to have some showing at table stakes almost in a race that was being quickly defined by healthcare, by Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All plan, by Joe Biden's unwillingness to get to Medicare for all by just wanting to expand on the ACA. And Harris had struggles navigating that. She had problems even articulating what she thought about health coverage. And I think one reason, one kind of practical reason, is Kamala Harris was not on the Senate Health Committee. She was not someone who came up through the ranks of healthcare policy. She was an attorney general. And I think that played a role. She wasn't in regular hearings having to discuss the workings of Medicare Part B or what it meant to have the Affordable Care Act set up health insurance exchanges. So when she was pressed during the campaign about her early support of Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All plan, but then did she actually want to get rid of private insurance?
Well, you support the Bernie Sanders bill, which essentially gets rid of insurance.
I support Medicare for All, but I really do need to clear up what happened on that stage.
Okay.
It was in the context of saying, let's get rid of all the bureaucracy. Let's get all of the ways.
Oh, not the insurance companies.
No, that's not what I meant.
She bounced back and forth a few times. It was a real problem for her messaging, and it played into this broader perspective that Kamala Harris was just figuring things out on the fly, that she was going to come up with whatever sounded politically expedient at the time. And healthcare became this weight around the campaign. She did end up coming out with a plan that seemed to split the difference.
Harris's plan advocates for Medicare for All, but differs from what Sanders has called for. This latest plan from Harris comes after she faced mounting questions about how she would pay for the proposal and whether she would allow private insurance to continue.
Private insurance would be allowed to stick around if private insurance companies came up with plans that were essentially on par with the public health insurance that she wanted to create for everyone. I remember calling it the not Medicare for All plan, but the Medicare Advantage for All plan, based on the private health insurance option that Medicare offers, Medicare Advantage. I seem to remember her campaign staff getting grumpy over that. But some policy people did like that plan. I remember writing that I thought it was a shrewd compromise. It wasn't as radically transformative as Bernie Sanders' plan. It built in more time to make adjustments to the Harris system. And it did keep a role for private insurance, which polls showed that many Americans did want to have that option. But Harris dropped out of the race by the end of the year, so we have not had to think a lot about Kamala Care in many months.
So flash forward to now. Harris is on Biden's ticket. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Does any of what you just said matter? I mean, if the election is a referendum on the handling of the pandemic, is it relevant at all what Harris has said or did on healthcare issues last year when so much has changed on healthcare this year?
Jeremy, I think the Trump campaign wants it to matter. They had prepared a lot of attacks on Democrats and laid a lot of groundwork over the past year, attacking Medicare for All, blasting socialism. And they were doing that, especially if Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren won the nomination, there would be this pre-existing knowledge among the electorate and certainly among the Republican base that whoever the Democratic nominee was going to be was going to radically transform healthcare and the rest of America. And then they ended up with Joe Biden, who Republicans have had real trouble painting as a radical socialist. Americans know Joe Biden. His image is not someone who's going to come and take away their private health insurance. If anything, he said repeatedly he didn't want to do that during the Democratic campaign. But Kamala Harris does give the Trump campaign a window. And the first video that President Trump and Republicans put up attacking Harris goes directly in on that.
Kamala Harris ran for president by rushing to the radical left, embracing Bernie's plan for socialized medicine, calling for trillions in new taxes.
Says that Harris was aligned with Bernie Sanders, wants to raise taxes by trillions of dollars.
He is handing over the reins to Kamala while they jointly embrace the radical left. Slow Joe and phony Kamala, perfect together, wrong for America.
But Jeremy, there's also an interesting flip to that, I think, which is there is some hope among some Democrats that Kamala Harris, who is a progressive senator and has a more progressive track record on issues like Medicare for All than Joe Biden, that maybe that will motivate some younger Democratic voters too, who had balked at the idea of supporting Biden because they didn't think he was ambitious enough, aggressive enough, and now Kamala Harris might add a little bit more verve on issues like Medicare for All and motivate them to go to the polls.
Beyond just Medicare for All, with the election 3 months away, as someone who's tracking the ins and outs of many healthcare issues, is there anything more that you're expecting from both Biden and now Harris on healthcare as we approach Election Day?
There are a couple markers on the calendar that we're watching, one being that the Affordable Care Act is facing yet another showdown at the Supreme Court. another challenge to Obamacare's legitimacy. And frankly, this is a political gift to Democrats. We saw over and over again the past few years that every time Republicans attacked the ACA, that was easy fodder for Democrats to then turn around and run on. And this is going to be a Supreme Court hearing that basically brackets the November election. It will be top of mind for many voters who might get their health coverage through the Affordable Care Act. Also, I think that Kamala Harris now joining the ticket will allow Democrats to message even more about how the pandemic is hitting communities of color. We know that Blacks, Hispanics, Asian Americans, these populations that are more on the fringes of the American health system have been hit really hard by COVID-19. Kamala Harris, for her lack of health policy chops, has gone directly at that issue in a bunch of different ways in recent weeks and months. I think it's going to be something that she'll continue to highlight, and in a way that's probably more effective than Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Mike Pence, all of them saying it, in part because Kamala Harris is a member of a community of color too.
Dan Diamond, thanks so much for talking with me.
Jeremy Siegel, glad you're back. Talk to you again soon.
Also today, the Big 12 Football Conference says it will play this fall despite concerns over the coronavirus pandemic. The announcement was made just a day after two other major conferences, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, announced that they were calling off their 2020 plans due to the health crisis. The move comes as playing football amid the pandemic has taken on a new political dimension this week, with President Trump and other prominent Republican lawmakers weighing in on the conflict in support of the season going on. Both the ACC and the SEC also plan to continue with football this fall. In a press release, the Big 12 says it does plan to test its players for COVID three times a week. And New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city is moving forward with plans to lay off 22,000 public workers in October unless another source of funding comes through. In a move that illustrates just how hard the coronavirus pandemic is hitting local governments financially, de Blasio confirmed on Wednesday that the plans are progressing, saying, quote, "I want to avert this at all costs," and that the 22,000 number is, quote, "painfully real." De Blasio has been hoping for a multi-billion dollar federal aid package to bail out the city as its funds have been decimated by the pandemic. But as movement on a new bill in Congress remains at a standstill, he acknowledged yesterday that, quote, "that appears to be dead." Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, check out some of our other shows like Women Rule, Nerdcast, Pulse Check, and Politico Energy. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.